Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We've got a great show today. We're going to be talking about people who want to get a mortgage when they're retired.
Yep. And that's often, you know, it doesn't compute for people. You're supposed to have your mortgage paid off.
Or advisors.
Right.
How does it work? How do you put that all in your retirement plan?
A mortgage is a tool. Let's talk about how that tool can be used.
This year as well, the Canadian government increased the capital gains tax for many Canadians, really impacted a lot of business owners.
Yes.
What's the impact? Should you no longer invest in your company with investments? And you know what else is happening?
What?
Get ready. Here, check this out.
What? Yeah.
These economists are ripping up their ideas and thoughts of the future of this country because the rules have just changed. Immigration, they're basically closing the doors.
Yep. Wow, come on.
They're basically closing the doors. When we had 500,000 people coming into this country, 500,000 people are not coming into this country next year.
Right.
And if you're an economist and you're looking at the overall analysis of where the future will be, at least in gross domestic product, they're ripping up their process. And we've got our guest here joining us, Parisa Mahabubi, senior policy analyst and of CD Howe Institute. Parisa, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. For dramatic effect, of course, I ripped up my paper, so I have no idea what I'm going to talk about next. But the key thing here now is we are seeing more and more economists now start changing their models on what's going to happen. Is the impact of the change in immigration going to impact the economy in this country?
So to answer that question, I should highlight that we are facing a great deal of uncertainty in regards to not only the size of the population, the population growth we are going to face in the next few years, and also its impact on immigration, impact of immigration on the economy, because there are many factors that contribute to our economy. Right now, labor market has been slowed. We are facing a rising unemployment rate. So it's actually a good time to reduce immigration numbers and level, because immigrants in general, when the economy and labor market slow down, we are seeing a high unemployment rate among immigrants, especially new arrivals, you know, newcomers and temporary residents. So this is actually something that we should consider, that even without reducing the immigration, we could see a reduction in economic activities. At the same time, the impact of immigration on the economy, it all depends whether we are meeting the target for temporary residents in a couple of years.
So, Parisa, let's maybe talk about some bookends. There is some uncertainty, but we do know directionally, at least for the time being, that immigration will be brought down. I'd say many would argue that, you know, the immigration policy over the last few years has created problems like housing and so on and so forth. So, you know, given reasonable parameters, what is the CD Howe Institute's position on directionally bringing immigration down, and what impact will that have, say, in the short term and in the medium term, given those bookends?
So there is no doubt that the CD Howe publication has advocated for adjustment to the immigration system. We needed that, and it was the right time to do that. After the pandemic, it got out of hand. Even with the current targets that government announced, we are going to admit more immigrants compared to historical trend and the pre-pandemic. We should really acknowledge that we are not reducing the number of immigrants and new arrivals to even lower than pre-pandemic trends. So this is important to acknowledge, and also the need for adjustment. Housing market is, you know, housing shortages have been a significant issue for Canada. We need to consider that and respond to that problem. We need to welcome immigrants and we need to be able to provide services. If they are not able to afford, you know, a place to live, it's going to be a very big challenge for us. So that's why this is a policy in the right direction. We needed to adjust the immigration system and approach. and we needed it. It might be some impacts, you know, that there is no doubt that the labor force growth would be slower because the majority of the contribution of immigrants to labor force growth is significant, but it also depends who stays, who leave, and who we admit.
So in your view, is the economy going to slow down because of these changes in policy, or will we still continue our trajectory where we're at right now?
We might see some reduction in the economic activities, but it also depends on, again, whether we are able to meet those targets. That's a big question. And who we select. It's really critical for the position that we are going to take.
So it's interesting how you say it all depends on all these other factors. Of course, that makes sense when you look at the world and as complex as it is. But Parisa, if we're expecting it to be a qualitative analysis done when it comes to our overall immigration issues and how it impacts the economy, then we're expecting the government to step in and have a quality assessment that by the time they figure that out, we may not have that. So would this not slip us into a slower economy and possibly a recession?
This is possible that we see a slower, slower growth in our economy. But this is, again, something that we need to be able to get prepared for the future of our population and for our economy.
So, Parisa, if we had to go back in time, it would appear that the government's immigration policy for a period of time was out of step with, say, the housing and, other issues. So it's led to some of these issues. What have we learned from this most recent policy, I guess, that we should do differently in Canada going forward to make sure that we don't get these imbalances?
So the first step is to be able to predict the immigration trend. So to be able to prepare and adjust for the population growth, policymakers and all parties involved in planning, they need to be aware, for example, what would be the population growth and demand in the next few years. We are planning, for example, and announcing immigration target level just for 3 years. This is not really sufficient for long-term planning. We need to know the path of immigration levels in the future and what's the goal of immigration. For example, what's the ideal proportion of immigrants to total population in a given year? So to be able to plan for that, first of all, we need to think about the housing. We had housing shortages even before the spike of immigration numbers. So we need to aim to address housing shortages. We need to aim to address any gaps in our healthcare system, education system. They are all the type of the services that immigrants and all existing residents need to be at. They need to have access to those services and need to address any gaps and shortages.
This is going to be a very challenging issue, a very challenging problem, especially going into an election next year. Parisa, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You know, Faisal, what we've learned from this conversation, it's been reinforced, is that it's never one thing, right? There's a whole bunch of interconnected parts. And if we lose track of or forget about a bunch of the other interconnected parts, you can get to imbalances. And that's not unlike planning for retirement, right? It's not one single thing. You need to pull together all the different goals and make a cohesive strategy.
Yeah, we've got to talk about all these issues and how it makes it cohesive on our upcoming seminar on Tuesday, December 3rd, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. Now, you need to reserve your seats for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Hey, could a mortgage be an effective tool to use in retirement for lifestyle? And if so, how do you get one when you're in retirement? Stick around after the break. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.